The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Variety Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericavariety.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Well, I think we should just bring on Paulie, better known as Burt Young.
They're talking about a movie called Creed.
You know what, though? He better have Paulie in that movie.
If they dump me, it'll be sacrilegious.
Hi, Mario Lopez. Mario, how's it going tonight?
Hey, I'm doing great.
And you got a lot of Hollywood hotties getting on you, or what? And you were like a Miley Cyrus. That shit works. You know, I mean, you look like
I've never known her since she was a little girl. She's real sweet, and, she was growing up.
Oh, yeah. Hell, yeah, she had.
Mr. Gianni Russo played Carlo Rizzi in the original Godfather.
James Caan.
He broke two of your ribs, you say?
With the kicking when I crawled out?
Yeah.
Going to the fire hydrant?
Mm-hmm.
We want to introduce Mr. Bach Rutten.
How many bouncers did you take out at that one time in Sweden?
There were five of them, so I had every one I dropped, but they were keep coming back up, you know? So,
Mario Andretti. Mario, how are you this evening?
Wonderful, guys. Greg, one question.
Yeah.
If I call you the rambling freak, will you squash me like a bug?
Greg Valentino, welcome. Gregory, another week, another Monday night. Here we are again.
I hear you, Joey. I hear you. Same old. New York is burning still. Bronx is burning.
The Bronx is always burning. But you know what, bro? We got a couple of good guests tonight. But our first guest, he's on the line right now. Now, I'm not going to turn around and say that I'm a fan of the 90s era, but the older I get, the more I appreciate it. And Nat Geo ran a show in July called The 90s, The Last Great Decade with a Question Mark. And one of the main reasons why people remember the 90s is obviously the whole grunge scene and the band Nirvana. Well, we have right on the phone right now
Mr.
Butch Vig, who is producer of Nirvana, and I want to welcome him to the show right now. Butch, welcome to Greg and Joe Extreme Radio.
How are you?
What's going on, Butch?
Oh, you know, I'm just trying to avoid the heat in Los Angeles. Sounds like you guys are burning up there, too, huh?
Oh, yeah, man. Oh, yeah. You know what it is? New York, we get that, like, you know, because we have winters. But, I mean, when we get the heat, man, it's like that Florida heat, that, like, you know, heavy humidity heat. So we're over here, you know, both Joe and I are smack in the New York City area, so we're like cooking. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you're used to it, though, right?
Yeah. Many years, you know. I mean, I'm born here. I was born in Manhattan and raised in the Bronx, so you know, I'm used to it. It's just right on. You know. Are you from Los Angeles, Butch? I mean, are you a Los Angeles native or anything? Or
I'm from Wisconsin. I grew up in a small town. Viroqua, Wisconsin. I kind of call Madison my home because I spent a lot of time there. But I live in Los Angeles, so I've been here about 10 years.
Oh, Wisconsin. Joe's got a friend from Wisconsin. But now, that's a little inside joke between me and Joe about somebody from Wisconsin that we're really not fond
of. We could give two flying fucks about it, obviously. But we do care about you, Butch, so I don't think it's...
So, Butch,
I have to say, you know, I'm a huge Green Bay Packer fan. That's, I just got to lay that out right. You know, I'm sure you guys are, you know, maybe have some, you know, your feelings against towards the Packers might not be the same as mine, but, you know, we all got our favorite football teams, and I am definitely a cheesehead.
Well, you know what? That's a good team to like. I mean, obviously, throughout the history, geez, I mean, a lot of Super Bowls, great players all around, great stadium.
Lombardi, I mean, come on, you know, that's a great team. By the way, Joe used to be like a beat reporter with the Jets and everything. He did all, Joe covered the New York Jets, you know, and he covered the New York Mets and everything. So, you know, Joe, you know, the Joe part of us, Joe and Greg, is a football guy, big time.
That's cool, man. That's really cool.
Been in many Super Bowl locker rooms as a reporter, right, Joe?
Yes, I've seen many an NFL cock in my day. Some unclipped. Some of them were unclipped. But we're not here to talk about athletes' penises, unfortunately. It's a great subject. But we're going to have to talk a little bit about you, because well, why else would you want to call us and talk about, you know, stuff like that? But Nirvana's Nevermind album, I mean, like, this is the epitome of that whole genre. This was kind of the album that kind of everybody, the whole world, found out about Nirvana. And you were the guy that was the producer for this album. Give us a little background. How did you first get hooked up with these three guys, and how did that whole thing go? Because I did some reading on it, and you had to kind of convince them of certain things that you wanted to do on that album that they weren't really into right away, right?
Yeah, you know, I hooked up with them through Sub Pop. They were signed to an indie label, Sub Pop, before they got signed to Geffen Records, a major label, and I did some work for them. And when they signed to Geffen, they wanted me to produce, and I got the call at the 11th hour. I think because they felt I had a lot of, you know, sort of punk credentials from doing a lot of indie rock bands. And, you know, we went into a studio and made the record pretty fast in 16 days. But I pushed them hard, and, you know, I wanted the performances to be really great and really tight, and particularly Kurt, you know, he did not have a lot of patience, so I really had to push him to get great vocals, and, you know, sometimes to redo a guitar part or whatever to make it better. But they also, you know, contrary to a lot of sort of public beliefs on the band, they were not slackers. They wanted to make a great record. They practiced every single day for about 5 or 6 months before we went into the studio, so they were super, super tight.
Yeah, wow. It's amazing. That's the you know, the famous cover with the baby in the pool, and I saw something on TV, like, that baby, you know, she's like 20 something now, and it made me feel like kind of fucking old when I saw that. I was like, oh shit, you know, just like, you know, reality sets in when you see something like that. But that album, I mean, you know, Smells Like Teen Spirit obviously is the song that everybody knew that got the most radio play. But I mean, the rest of the album to me is kind of blows that song away. Now, when you guys were first putting that together, did you make that song to be like kind of like the one that was going to get out there on the air?
I knew Teen Spirit was special. The very first time they played it in rehearsal, it was also the first time I met Dave Grohl, and he's an incredible drummer, and he completely sort of changed their sound. He made them much, much more powerful. Mm-hmm. And I had heard a demo recording out, like a rehearsal on a cassette, and it was so, like, lo-fi and distorted, it was really hard to hear the song. So really, it was when I stepped into a rehearsal space in North Hollywood and they played the song for the first time, I went, wow, this is an anthem. I mean, it was so powerful and hooky, and Kurt's singing was just incredible on it. And I remember sort of pacing around the room and at the rehearsal room, and I didn't really know what to say when they were done. I was like, okay, play it again. Let me hear it again. I was trying to digest it all. And I didn't have to do a whole lot of arranging or anything that song. You know, I think we timed up a few sections, but like I said, they had rehearsed so much. It sounded incredible when they first played it.
Wow. Hey, let me ask you a question, Butch. How do you feel now about the fact that people say rock is dead? I mean, we all love that kind of music, you know. I'm close to your age myself, and, you know, you know, I never thought I'd ever say it, but, you know, there's nothing really new right now that's burning up charts like, you know, like Nirvana did and everything. I mean, you know, and it to me, it kind of blows my mind. I mean, how do you feel?
Well, I, you know, about every 3 or 4 years, the journalists will start writing rock is dead, but then some great rock band always comes out of nowhere and seems to get everybody excited again. But I don't think that there can ever be another situation like Nevermind. I mean, this is before the internet, really, and
right,
before illegal downloading and tweeting and Facebook. And, you know, it seems like music fans these days have a very short attention span. They just move on to whatever because music has become so sort of disposable in a way. And when Nevermind came out, I think it really sort of set a tone for the early 90s. People wanted something different, and they wanted something that felt real and passionate, and that record sounded completely different from a lot of the records that were coming out of the 80s. Right. I mean, it could happen again in that kind of explosion from a rock band, but I don't see anything coming, at least in the near future, like that.
I mean, if you listen to the crap that's out there today, you can go to YouTube and you could look at bands like Nirvana and all these great bands, and I mean, they got a lot of views. But then you hear somebody like a Lil Wayne, who to me is like, and he can sit there and sing, that's not even singing to me, but anyway, he'll get like, half a billion. I mean, it's insane. You look at a Metallica or something like that, and they can't even compare with the hits that somebody like Lil Wayne or, these guys. I find it, it boggles my mind. You know what I'm saying? But the kids today, kids listen to crap.
Yeah, you have to look at it in different ways. I mean, Lil Wayne can't sell out a football stadium. And Metallica can sell out football stadiums in pretty much every country in the planet. They have a huge, huge fan base. They may not get mainstream radio play. I mean, they never really did get mainstream radio play.
You're right with that.
Yeah.
Pop music always has had, since the 50s, has always had sort of generic, disposable music at the top of the charts. Every now and then there's, some great songs that become huge hits. But, pop music in itself is really sort of disposable. But I think there's always going to be an audience out there for this well-crafted songs, whether it's a rock song or a hip-hop song or a jazz number. If there's a good track and a good song, it will find an audience.
Well, yeah, is
definitely.
That your favorite era of music? Is it the 90s for you, or...?
I sort of feel like the music that I fell in love with was like new wave and punk, like 1978 or 1977, maybe to 82, I would say, like a 5-year period, like the Ramones, Television, The Clash,
Cheap Trick or something like that.
REM, Cheap Trick, there's just a late 70s, early 80s. That's kind of when I was playing in bands and also, some of the music that I really identified in. That's also when I started learning how to produce and engineer. So I feel a real affinity towards that era.
Right.
Definitely, yeah. I mean, I got to ask you something, though, Butch. I mean, you're a drummer. You started the band Garbage. You've been a drummer your whole life. You mentioned Dave Grohl before. Obviously, he was a fantastic drummer.
He's a genius.
He's an amazing drummer. But to me, the way he was able to reinvent himself as the rhythm guitarist and the lead singer of the Foo Fighters and walk away from the drum kit, it's almost like a pitcher becoming an outfielder, if you will. So how did you feel like as a fellow drummer and a guy who knew this guy? Did he ever come to you for advice on that move first?
When I heard that he was starting a band, the Foo Fighters, it didn't surprise me because he played, he'd be sitting around the studio and we were doing Nevermind and just pick up a guitar and start playing. And he sang a lot of back vocals and, he actually had a song, one or two songs, I think, that became B-sides for Nirvana. So I knew he was also a songwriter. I just, had no idea that he was going to fully jump into it. It's funny, as I'm talking to you guys, I'm heading into the studio right now. We're mixing the new Foo Fighters record. It's almost done.
Oh, shit.
Oh, cool.
I love Dave Grohl. I think that guy's a genius.
Yeah.
I do. A musical genius. He is. A talented and a genius together. It's unbelievable.
I saw them live, and he freaking sings perfect live as if he did in the studio. I mean, he's got a great voice. He's got a great harsh voice for that style of music. It's perfect. But I always thought, like, wow, this guy was such a great drummer. And it was like, almost like, wow. And then now he became a bigger star by becoming, the lead man, the front man for the Foo Fighters. So when is that record supposed to be released?
October.
Oh, cool. Let's look forward to that. Do you have a title for it yet, or that's not
not yet. They're still working on the artwork and stuff, but we got about another week of mixing, and we'll be finished, and then we're going to get it mastered. And
wow.
So everything's kind of coming together now. It's a pretty amazing album. A lot of the songs are absolutely epic sounding.
Really? Did you find it was odd that Chris never stayed with the music scene once everything happened with Nirvana?
I think that Chris felt a little bit lost after Nirvana. He really was Kurt's best friend. You know, they had a history of music together before Dave Grohl joined the band. And, you know, he had some side projects, but, you know, he kind of moved to a house like out in the country, you know, outside of a major city, and sometimes to kind of isolate himself. He's got involved in politics and social issues, and he still loves music, obviously, but, you know, he took a different path than Dave.
Yeah, definitely. I just always felt that it was like, you know, they had such a short window, those guys, and obviously, unfortunately, what happened with Kurt, with the suicide, it kind of, you know, changed so many things, but, you know, the fact that Grohl still went on and, you know, was able to headline, you know, big venues and stuff like that with the Foo Fighters was great. I always felt kind of bad that Chris was never able to still experience that, because, you know, that he didn't have a long time to experience it. But we got about 2 minutes left, Butch, so I want to give you an opportunity to give out any sites, Twitter, any Facebook, anything you want to give out. So go ahead, man.
Well, I'm glad you guys had me on the show. As I said, I'm just finishing up the new Foo Fighters record, and I'm totally excited about it. Like I said, there's some incredibly epic songs on it. And then I'm going to the studio to start a record with my band Garbage in August, and we hope to have a record done by the end of the year. So I'm busy, man, and it's good. I like being busy.
That's where awesome. Can people find your stuff with Garbage online?
They can go to garbage.com or go to our Facebook site. It's pretty easy to find. And Shirley is actually very active on both Twitter and Facebook. So if you go on there, you know, she's usually posting something every day or every other day, you know, something that amuses her.
And that Nat Geo miniseries, you know, how was that experience to be part of that?
Well, it's really cool. I mean, you know, I've seen a rough cut of the episode, and I love those kind of historical episodes, and I think they've done a really good job because they've encapsulated a lot of different aspects of the 90s. And like the 60s, the 70s, 80s, it's a complicated, interesting collage of ideas and art and politics and, you know, all wrapped up. And I think anybody who's a history fan is going to love it. And as I said, I saw the rough cut, and I thought it was absolutely fantastic.
Wow, cool, man. Hey, wow. Butch, we're going to have to go to break, unfortunately. I'd like to thank you so much for joining Greg and myself this evening on Greg and Joe Extreme Radio. And
yes,
we'll talk to you soon, man. Keep putting out some good stuff with those guys and with the Foo Fighters and your own band, man. Great job.
Cool, man. Thanks very much. Stay cool.
Thank you, Butch.
You too, bro.
You too.
Okay. I was Butch Vig, drummer from the band Garbage, and also Nirvana producer and Foo Fighters producer.
Awesome.
And Greg, we're going to be back after this quick break, so
yes,
hold on to your horseshoe cribs over there, kid.
Hi, I'm Shannon Sharp, Fitness RX for Men. Bam!
Hey, this is Sebastian Bach, and you are listening to Greg and Joe on Extreme Radio.
Hi, this is Pat Cooper, and you're listening to Greg and Joe because everybody who has brains listens to Greg and Joe, even me.
Hey, what's up? Mario Lopez here, and we're at Gio's Brooklyn Boxing Club doing a photo shoot for Fitness RX for Men.
Oh, how the fuck are you? Max Cook here. Let me tell you something. I had a lot of fun talking to Joe and Greg. A couple of top-shelf margaritas, those two. Now, you're going to do me a favor. You're going to go to YouTube, and you're going to type in Max Cook, M-A-X-K-O-C-H, you strunts. And you're going to watch my videos, and you're going to fucking like them, or we're going to have a problem.
This here Junkyard Willie, and I'm here to tell you, put your greasy hands together for Greg and Joe on Extreme Radio.
Hey, it's Artie Lang, and you're listening to Greg and Joe. Check it out.
What's up, guys? James Maslow here, and you're listening to Joe and Greg on Extreme Radio.
Fitness RX for Men is the ultimate men's print publication, website, and extreme radio show. More than just fitness, we'll also bring you the best news in sports, entertainment, and lifestyle. Fitness RX for Men was established first as a magazine in 2003. Be sure to visit our website, www.fitnessrxformen.com, and check out our social media pages for up-to-the-minute news and tips every day. It's your ultimate prescription for the perfect body. Visit fitnessrxformen.com today.
Oh, how the fuck are you? Max Cook here. Let me tell you something. I had a lot of fun talking to Joe and Greg. Couple of top-shelf margaritas, those two. Now, you're going to do me a favor. You're going to go to YouTube, and you're going to type in Max Cook, M-A-X-K-O-C-H, you strunts. And you're going to watch my videos. And you're going to fucking like them, or we're going to have a problem.
You are listening to Extreme Radio, presented by Fitness RX for Men magazine, with hosts Greg Valentino and Joe Piatero. If you have a question or comment for our show today, please call 1-866-472-5788. That's 1-866-472-5788. You can also send an email to jpiatero@advancedresearchmedia.com. Now, back to Extreme Radio.
Hey, welcome back to Greg and Joe Extreme Radio. I'd like to thank Butch Vig, Nirvana producer, drummer from Garbage, and Foo Fighters producer also. Great stuff about the 90s, Greg. I had mentioned that I wasn't a big fan of the 90s music when it came out, and the reason why was because I was an 80s hairband fucking maniac, and I was walking around with the long hair, the mullet, the fucking motorcycle jacket. And one of the things that I really enjoyed back then was the Cherry Pie video that Warren put out.
Oh, everybody enjoyed that video.
Everybody, every guy spanked to that video. And I always was like, oh, this girl is gorgeous. And I cannot believe that we actually have her on the line right now. It's Bobby Jean Brown. Bobby, welcome to the program.
Hi. Thanks.
Wow.
Bobby, you were amazing in that video, and you've been amazing every day since then. So how did that whole thing come about? Hack question, but I got to ask it. How did that, how did you get involved with Warrant and those guys back then?
Thank you. I had a modeling agency at the time, and I was just modeling here in L.A., and I guess Janie saw me on Star Search and contacted my people to, have me audition for the part. And then I blew off the audition. I didn't go. I was hungover. And they called back and they said, she didn't show up. And so I went and met with them at Jerry's Deli, and I walked in, and they were like, okay, you have the part. That was basically it.
Wow. It was that simple?
Yeah.
Just like that?
Pretty easy.
Oh, my God. So now, wait a minute. You were doing modeling? Like, were you a professional model out there?
Yes, I was. I was a professional model, and I was on Star Search. I won like 13 times in a row.
No way.
On that, more times than anybody in the history of that show. But I lost the final 100,000, of course. But he saw me on the show and wanted me for the video, so he called and set up the interview.
Oh my God, you were on Star Search, huh? I didn't know that. I thought they hired just like a bunch of like girls, you know what I'm saying? So you were full-fledged modeling and everything, huh, back then?
Yeah, I was doing really well.
Are you originally from Los Angeles?
No, from Baton Rouge, Louisiana.
Oh, wow. So
yeah.
you was this like your dream, like to come out, big place like LA, try to get a career in modeling and all that stuff, and then boom,
I was Miss Teen Louisiana, and I was on the Miss Teen USA pageant, and my question in the top five, because I got in the top five, I came in second, was what did I want to be when I grew up? And I was like, I want to be a model, famous model, and then I had some prospective agents call me after seeing that televised, program, and then I moved out here when I graduated high school.
Really?
Yeah.
So how old were you back then?
18. Yeah.
Oh. And you were doing the pageant scene, or?
Huh?
Were you doing the pageant scene? A lot of girls, a lot of young models.
Not really. I was, that was the first pageant I ever did, was Miss Teen Louisiana, and I won it. And then second pageant was Miss Teen USA, and that's where they asked me the question, and then I moved out as soon as I graduated high school.
Oh, wow. And now you're still out there, right? You're in L.A. right now?
Yep.
Okay, and are you still modeling and all that, or?
Not really. I mean, I'm 44 now, so I'm not really modeling, but I'm doing my reality show, X Wives of Rock, and it's on our third season. We got picked up for 26 episodes this year, so we're doing pretty good with that. And my book just came out in November, and promoting that, and just did the audio book for it for Audible, and you know, I have a whole list of things on my bucket list here.
Right, and that's Dirty Rocker Boys is the book, Bobby Jean Brown. That's Bobby, B-O-B-B-I-E. And I got to tell you, I had heard, you know, I had seen the whole thing with Janie, obviously. You know, it's a shame what happened to him. But I had, you know, I saw an old interview with him, and he was saying that they, like at the 11th hour, they had to write and record Cherry Pie. They thought the songs, they didn't want nothing to do with it because it blew. They thought it was a commercial type of fucking song. But I guess the producer ever said, no, we need a title track, blah, blah, blah. And they, you know, reluctantly banged it out and recorded it. So, I mean, if it wasn't for that hush and rush and all of that and stuff, we may never have gotten that video, which is kind of weird. Did you guys ever talk about that once you guys hooked up?
Yeah, basically he, you know, he was kind of bummed over the years that that was what, you know, they were known for, because it was a last minute thing. Donnie Einar called and said they wanted kind of like a Love in the Elevator song, you know, something kind of Anthony, something kind of, you know, catchy or whatever. So then they changed the whole record idea to Cherry Pie now. And he said he wrote that in 5 minutes on a pizza box in the bathroom. And, so he did that, and then everything was Cherry Pie, and, you know, he felt like he was so much more than that, you know, as a writer and a musician and whatever. So it kind of bummed him out that it became such a big deal. He was known, you know, as the Cherry Pie guy. That was kind of a bummer for him. But he came to embrace it towards the end. And, of course, for me, had it not, you know, come to fruition, then you wouldn't be talking to me right now, probably, you know?
Yeah, things kind of actually, you know, obviously worked out, you know, for a reason, and then you ended up, you know, blowing up after that. But that's not all you did. I mean, you did a lot of acting on TV and some films and stuff like that. I'm looking over some of your things, like you were on Married with Children, Last Action Hero, Baywatch Nights. You were on some cool stuff. So how was it like working on some shows like that, especially like Married with Children, which everybody, I'm 46, so we're all kind of in the same age group. Married with Children was like one of, you know, that was one of everybody's favorite show, and that kind of took things to a different, that was almost like the All in the Family of its era, really. So how was
it really was
working on that show for a few episodes?
It was awesome. Yeah, it was awesome. Everybody was really cool, and I remember I was booked for their like 100th episode. I think it was the supermarket. And so, you know, they had me in the same outfit that I wore in Cherry Pie, kind of, except for a different colored top. They were kind of, you know, going for the same theme. But everybody was very nice and very cool.
Wow. Al Bundy must have been going nuts. What was it like being...
Yeah, he was nice. You know, he was very professional. He was very cool. He was nothing really like his character, but he was really nice.
Yeah, that's great. I used to love that show, and you know what's funny, Joe? Now that you say that, I think I remember that episode.
Yeah, I can't forget, dude. Come on.
Yeah, you know what it is. Yeah, but everything kind of like that whole era is kind of a blur to me still. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So, Bobby, tell us about this reality show that's going on now.
Well, X Lives of Rock are in third season. It's me and three other women that we've all known each other for over 20 years because we were all married to rock stars. And, you know, it's about our lives now, you know, after the heyday, after the glory or whatever, are living our lives now, but still being friends, you know, making bad decisions, having, you know, problems, you know, our day-to-day lives. But it's really funny because we're all very crazy characters. It's me, Athena Kotak, who is married to James Kotak of the Scorpions. And she's also Tommy Lee's sister. And that's my best friend. And then there's Susan Blue Ashley, who was married to Jerry Dixon from Warrant. And then Charisse Neal, who was married to Vince Neal from Motley Crue.
Oh, we're actually going to have Athena and Charisse on this show. So it's funny you should mention that. We
have that's funny.
Scheduled for an upcoming episode. So that would be pretty cool. We'll program on that episode as well.
Yeah, you guys should check out the first two seasons. It's on YouTube right now. And we're busy filming our third season right now. It'll be airing in the fall.
How long have you guys been friends? Like, how long you guys know each other?
That's been, like, 25 years.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so we have, like, a camaraderie that we're, like, you know, siblings in a way. You know what I mean? Like, and it's not a scripted show. It's more, like, documentary stuff. So what we do is we tell them what we're doing, and then they will come and film what, you know, sounds interesting. And then, you know, we still hang out even when we're not filming. So it's a real... you know, relationships. So everything that you see on camera is actually happening. There's no scripted anything. So we're in a fight, we're really in a fight, you know? But it's really good. It's very supportive. It's, you know, supportive of women and of each other. It's not like a bunch of us just, you know, looking gorgeous, drinking all day long and fighting. So.
Not like that, was it the Bad Girls Club or some fucking bullshit? Those
shows
are so fucking retarded.
Yeah, all the Housewives shows, all women hate each other. I mean, we actually care about each other, you know?
Yeah, well, that's good. Yeah, we have the Mob Wives on. You know, we've had the Mob Wives on, and they're pretty nice girls. We know some of them personally, and they're you know, they actually get along. That's all BS. They got some great stories about how one minute they're hugging and kissing, and their producer's like, "Come on, you got to start fighting each other." You know what I mean? And then
It's not good for ratings. Yeah. Well, hugging and kissing, you know, we're good for my ratings. I don't know if I saw, you know. But I got to ask you something, though. You were engaged to Tommy Lee. I saw the Pamela video when he was honking the horn on the boat with his cock.
Yeah.
I mean, holy shit, man. I am so fucking jealous of that guy. That was how big was that thing in real life?
I mean, it was pretty big. I mean, I have to say it was pretty big, but you know, with that, I have to also say when people, you know, are well endowed, they feel like they don't have to, you know, learn how to do other things. So, you know, it's not always what it's cracked up to be.
But he's also a hell of a drummer too.
Yeah. So, I mean, yeah.
Yeah, oh, I saw Clue last year in concert at the Jones Beach, and that was last year or 2 years ago, and they fucking still, wow, man, they're still a fucking, it's like, they, you know, you go back 25 years, they fucking sound the same to me, so that,
they've been doing it for a long time, they've had lots of practice, so I think
now,
that, you know.
Do you and your girls, you guys all have kids and stuff, like, the, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Do you
I have a 22-year-old,
I'm sorry, what did you say, how old is she?
My daughter's 22.
Oh, wow. Okay, so I have kids that old, too. Wow, I didn't realize. I thought, I guess I'm still in a time warp a little bit, you know what I mean?
I am.
My daughter's 22.
Yeah.
Is she into, like, rock and all that stuff? Does she know, like, does she ever say, like, that's my mom, you know, cherry pie, you know?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, she doesn't go around, like, saying it, but if people, you know, recognize it, she's proud of that and everything. But, she, you know, she definitely isn't about the nepotism, which I tell her she should totally try and use it if she can. But she's like, no, she wants to do her own thing, you know, with her own name and that sort of vibe. So, but, Athena's kids are on the show. Mine refuses to be on the show. She actually have a little bit of a stint this year when I do book reading in British, and which is my hometown. And Charisse's son is on the show, and so Blue's son is on the show. My daughter's the only one that really just
she don't want to be on it. You know what? She's giving you your space. Look at it that way. That's what I'm
talking about. I want to be on it. Like, wow, okay.
I tell you, though, I used to, you know, when I, around that, you know, hairband 80s, like I said, that's when, you know, I used to, you know, listen to that music and play that music and stuff. And we used to go to L'Amour in Brooklyn, and the girls with the hairspray and the satin, you know, the spandex pants and shit. So, like, to bring back to that era, it would be amazing. And what were some of the crazy fun times that you had back in those times, Bobby?
Oh, my God. You haven't read my book, obviously.
You know what? I got to get a copy of it.
Yeah, you do, because I basically, the book is, I mean, a complete diary of my heyday, and some of the craziest stories I've ever lived are in that book.
So I am going to have to, we're going to have to touch base with your publisher, issues. So I'm going to have to get a read a copy of it so I could read it and check out what happened, because, I mean, that's obviously what guys want to read about, when the fucking and partying and all of that stuff.
Yeah, I have stories of all kinds. It's kind of a tell-all, so.
Sorry, we got about 2 minutes left, Bobby, so I want to make sure that we get all the plugs out there for you. It's BobbyJeanBrown.net. That's B-O-B-B-I-E, Jean, J-E-A-N, Brown.net. And the whole online clothing store. You want to give us a little quick recap of what that sells there?
Yeah, it's just, rock clothes that, you know, for all sizes. And then I have a vintage section and a jewelry section that you can go there. And then I have my fan page on Facebook. It's Bobby Jean Brown fan page. And then Twitter at Bobby Jean Brown.
Oh, cool. And we are going to have to go to break in about a minute or so. But, Bobby, I want to thank you so much for joining Greg and myself tonight on Greg and Joe Extreme Radio. And
thank you.
Baton Rouge's finest, Bobby Jean Brown. Everybody knows her from Cherry Pie, but now you got to check her out on the Fuse Network, Ex-Wives of Rock. Thanks so much, Bobby. It was great having you on the program, hon.
Thank you, baby. I'll have a good day.
You
Thank
too.
You. Thank
okay,
you, Bobby. You stole my cherry pie.
Bobby Jean Brown licking that fucking red lollipop, dude. I fucking used to fucking make messy in my fucking undies back then. But we're going to have to go to break now, Greg, and we're going to have to gather ourselves to finish out this edition of Greg and Joe Extreme Radio. We'll be back right after these quick words.
Joe, I'm going to go eat some cherry pie.
Hi, this is Ian Anderson from Jethro Tull, and you're listening to Greg and Joe on Extreme Radio.
Hey, it's Drita from Mobwise, and you're listening to Greg and Joe from Extreme Radio, and you know what? You better listen.
Hey, everybody, this is Don Brewer from Grand Funk Railroad, and you're listening to Greg and Joe on Extreme Radio.
Yo, monkeys, it's me, D.D.P., the king of Bada Bing, the master of the diamond cutter, the three-time world champion and CEO and founder of DDP Yoga. And you're listening to my boys, Greg and Joe, and trust me, I'm going to get them doing some DDP Yoga because it ain't your mama's yoga.
This Junkyard Willie, and when I'm at my junkyard shining the hubcaps all day, getting all sweaty, I listen to the Greg and Joe Show on Extreme Radio.
Fitness RX for Men is the ultimate men's print publication, website, and extreme radio show. More than just fitness, we'll also bring you the best news in sports, entertainment, and lifestyle. Fitness RX for Men was established first as a magazine in 2003. Be sure to visit our website, www.fitnessrxformen.com, and check out our social media pages for up-to-the-minute news and tips every day. It's your ultimate prescription for the perfect body. Visit FitnessRxForMen.com today.
Hey, this is Sebastian Bach, and you are listening to Greg and Joe on Extreme Radio.
Oh, how the fuck are you? Max Cook here. Let me tell you something. I had a lot of fun talking to Joe and Greg. Couple of top-shelf margaritas, those two. Now, you're going to do me a favor. You're going to go to YouTube, and you're going to type in Max Cook, M-A-X-K-O-C-H, you strunts. And you're going to watch my videos. And you're going to fucking like him, or we're going to have a problem.
Hey, this is Dan Hardy from the UFC. You're listening to Greg and Joe Extreme Radio.
Hey, everybody. This is Ron Bumblefoot Thaw, and you're listening to Joe Piattaro and Greg Valentino on Extreme Radio. Yeah.
Hey, it's Max Martini from 50 Shades of Grey, and you're listening to Greg Valentino and Joe Piattaro on Extreme Radio.
This is Ernie Banks. You're listening to Greg and Joe. They're great guys.
This is Big Ange, and you're listening to Greg and Joe on Extreme Radio, and you better fucking listen.
This is Jim Kelly, former Buffalo Bills quarterback and Pro Football Hall of Famer, and you're listening to Joe Piattaro and Greg Valentino.
You are listening to Extreme Radio, presented by Fitness RX for Men magazine, with hosts Greg Valentino and Joe Piattaro. If you have a question or comment for our show today, please call 1-866-472-5788. That's 1-866-472-5788. You can also send an email to jpiattaro@advancedresearchmedia.com. Now, back to Extreme Radio.
Hey, welcome back to Extreme Radio, Greg and Joe. BobbyJeanBrown.net. Make sure you check her out at her website. She is 44 and fine, Greg. Still good-looking,
yes,
still hot, still incredible. But, Tommy Lee's...
You would still eat some cherry pie, Joe?
Bro, I would put cherry pie all over her. I would shoot loads all over it and still eat it.
Well, I guess you wouldn't need whipped cream then with that cherry pie. You'd supply your own. It's like bring your own. Like one of them parties. Bring your own beer.
Supply
your own
my own bleach smelling.
You know, but I don't know, man. We definitely had a rocking show today so far.
Yeah, you know 90s, I mean? 80s. Yeah. And we got to talk, maybe we'll talk, should we talk about the 70s, keep on trucking or something? Embarrass ourselves.
Okay, well, we've had a few of those guys on already, you know.
Yeah.
But, I mean... I don't know. It's freaking a hot summer, though. I'm sitting here in a freaking house without air conditioning, and it's, like, pretty brutal, you know? I mean, I got air conditioning where I sleep, but the rest of the house don't have air conditioning, and it's fucking, there's been some hot summer so far. It's cooking. And
yeah,
you know,
but are you complaining after all that fucking snow,
no,
dude?
No, never. You know what, though, dude? I love it hot outside. You know what I mean? You know what I don't like, Joe? I got to be honest with you. You know, I live in a suburb of New York City right now, you know, like you do, but you're the Long Island way, I'm the Westchester way. And I got to tell you, I'm sitting outside the other fucking day, and my girlfriend, the asshole, because where I work out, where I train, the tanning bed, some fat fuck was painting the friggin' place, and he stood on a tanning bed, you know, the shield, and he cracked it. You know, my friend owns the gym, so he's like freaking out. Some fat fuck stood on top of the plastic shield.
Yeah.
Goddamn, she'll send it. You know, now I'm freaking, you know, I want to tan, you know, so I'm tanning outside. I don't like to sit outside too much, and tan. To me, it's like time wasting, you know what I mean? If you go in a tanning bed, 20 minutes, bang, you know, you take a little nap, you wake up, you're tan all over. When you got to tan outside or at a beach, you got to lay on your front, your back, side, you know what I'm saying? You get it all over, and it's time consuming. But I'm out there the other day, and it's, you know my girlfriend, she's kind of fucking shot. You know, so she comes out, and I'm sitting on a porch, right? She's underneath the porch, and all of a sudden I can hear her fucking like, motherfuckers, and this and that, and the other thing, right? Next thing I know, a fucking swarm of bees comes over, and it just starts fucking attacking me. You know what I mean? And I'm getting like fucking stung like crazy, you know? This stupid bitch went underneath the porch. Instead of telling me there was like a little nest, she starts spraying it. You know what I mean? And I'm sitting on the other side. So I don't know if you could try to picture this shit, but, you know, it's just it's a deck, a wooden deck outside the house, you know? So you know my house. And I'm saying, she's fucking spraying it. And instead of, like, you know, telling me that she's going to do this, because all you're doing is you upset the hive.
Oh,
you know
they start going all over the place.
Right.
And they're getting pissed now.
You kill a lot of them. But when you make a lot of them, the ones that you don't kill go crazy. So they're fucking, all of a sudden, I'm sitting there. And with no notice, I hear her say something, hey, motherfucker, and then boom, I'm getting fucking stung. I wanted to kill her, Joe. I wanted to kill her. See, that's part of the reason why I'd rather tan in a tanning bed any day of the week. Although, I got to tell you something. I actually just thought about this. I forgot about this. This is a true story. My old gym, the gym that I owned, we had, you know, I rented out, you know, a half, you know, big chunk of the gym as a tanning salon. It was a beautiful tanning salon. Believe me, this place was gorgeous. But they would fucking, the girl that used to own the place was Brazilian, right? She was a cheap bitch. You know, she didn't want to, you know, she figured, because she paid so much for tanning, you know what I mean? Like, you know, for the electric, for the tanning, she would open up the doors instead of putting on the AC, right, to get air ventilation in. So I used to tan at night. And when she would open up the doors, one time, like a bunch of bees came in and actually stung me in the bed. And I didn't even know it. I'm laying in the bed, and all of a sudden I feel what feels like, what the fuck is this? And boom, I'm getting stung left and right. And what it was that she, because it was dark out, you know what I mean, she left open the doors, and, you know, bees are attracted to that kind of light, like that ultraviolet light.
Yeah.
So they actually came into the tanning salon and started stinging me in the fucking tanning salon. So now that I'm thinking about it, because I'm over here bitching about it, but I just realized I was once stung in the tanning salon, and I was stung like 6 times in the tanning salon. That was crazy.
You must have fucking sweet fucking skin or something that keep fucking flying.
No, dude, I'm allergic to bees, too. And that shit, like, almost kills me when that happened. You know what I mean? But, I mean, I don't know what it is, bro. I don't like bees.
Bro, they don't like you either.
They don't like me either.
You know, bro, you want to hear a fucking funny B story, right? Fucking Yellow Jackets, right? You know, I, you know the Yellow Jackets are.
Oh,
right?
Yeah.
The thinner bees, not the fuzzy ones, right? So, you know, this is a long time ago. My son was probably like 7 or 8. He's like, Dad, there's the fucking bee in the house. Now, long story short, you know, the second floor of my house, we have one of those big bay windows or whatever in the fucking front. And the bees made a nest like somewhere up there by like the gutters or some shit, right? These, you know, Yellow Jackets. So then my son's like, Dad, there's a fucking, I thought it was on the other side of the screen. We had the windows closed, the air conditioner, it was summertime. Then I realized, wait, he's right, the fucking bees on the inside part. So I fucking got, you know, I squashed it with the magazine or something, you know, my newspaper or some shit. And then I realized, how the fuck are these things getting in? These cocksuckers actually bore through the fucking outside, through the siding, and they made like a little hole, like right by the windowsill, like where the fucking, you put like the, you know, plaster or whatever when you fucking first lay the windowsill down and shit. And these cocksuckers were coming in through this little hole. So obviously I patched up that hole with the spackle or some shit, you know? Then I'm like, I gotta get rid of this nest. But now that thing is on the second floor. So I get a fucking one of those big ladders, you know? And I put it up against the wall, and I get a fucking can of Raid type, you know, I bought, you know, bee killing Raid thing. And I go up there, and I see the big fucking nest. So I fucking, now remember this, I'm on a fucking ladder now. I don't know how high a second floor of a house is, whatever, how many feet, 20, 30 feet, I don't know. And I fucking go up there, and I'm spraying this thing right on it, and one of those cocksuckers came out, bro. And right on, and now I can't move, because if I fucking move, I'm going flying off this fucking ladder. I'm breaking my fucking neck, maybe. Right on my fucking nose, as if it wasn't big enough. Now a fucking bee stings me on the tip of my nose.
No, really?
But I gotta sit there and take it. Because like, there's nothing I could do because I'm holding onto the ladder
shit.
And I'm squirting. And then I have my other hand like something to crush the nest, like a fucking plastic bag so I can like grab it and squash it because I wanted to get rid of it. I'm like, I'm not going to leave it up there, you know? So I fucking had to sit there and fucking take a bee sting right in the schnoz, dude. It sucked.
Dude, oh my God. Did your nose swell up and shit?
What?
Did it swell up?
Who the fuck can tell? Look at this. Fucking things always swelled up. Looks like I had a clown nose. Well, I fucking, you know, look like a fucking circus clown.
Dude, I
but
get some beak on
me. It sucked, though, yeah. So I know the feeling. I'm breaking your balls, but it does blow when
you
get
that thing.
Dude,
let me tell you something. It's funny you say that, because I once was in my, you know, when I was younger, a kid, I was in my room, you know, and I'm laying in bed, and I could hear this slight little noise, but it was deliberate. You know what I mean? It was like a scratch like this. I don't know if you can hear that. I'm scratching on the phone.
Sounds like you're spanking it. Go ahead.
The slightest little scratch. And I'm going, what is that noise? And I hear it again. And I'm going, I'm trying to, you know, you try to find it. And it's coming from the ceiling, you know. And I get up, and I stand on top of the bed. And I'm trying to feel on the ceiling where it is. All of a sudden, I feel this spot that's like on the ceiling. It's like thin as a tissue. I touch it. And it bursts open, and bees drop down. Bang! It was a nest up in the like in the attic above the room,
mm-hmm.
and the bees just dropped and it swarmed. I ran out of the room. I peeked back in. I could see them swarming in the room. They had a cool exterminator, and you know he came. And you know, I didn't get stung, thank God. But I'm just saying, I you know they were in the house. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
they made their way in the house, and I don't know, man. Bees, I don't like it. You know, my father,
like
bro,
it.
My father is old school Guinea. He don't give a shit about nothing. You know, he'll sit there in the giant, we have giant yellow jackets over here. You know what I mean? And these fucking things, he'll stand there and it'll be right next to him and he'll squash it with his hand. And he don't get stung like that. But yet he'll get stung. He sits out in the sun like he's 86. He's sitting outside, you know, right now. And as we're speaking, and he was stung a couple weeks ago. You know, he just sits out there, and you know, they'll land on him. They'll sting him, and he'll like rip it off him, and he'll just squeeze it in his hand and throw him. He's just like that. I don't know. You know what I mean?
He's a fucking tough guy, bro. He's been through the grind. Look at he's fucking. You know.
Yeah, but
you think a little bee's gonna fuck with him? You don't care.
Yeah, but I'm a pussy, bro. I run from that shit, dude. I was in Los Angeles, right? Back in the days when I lived out there, you know, it was like 81, maybe 82 or something like that. I was walking to Long Beach. I was actually walking to a bus stop. I was going going. I was actually. It was in Long Beach with some chick. I slept over. It was a fucked up story. Anyway, the two Mexican chicks. Here I am, fucking all these years later. I'm with a Mexican. But anyway, and I'm going to the bus though because I'm going to Gold's Gym in Venice, right? And Long Beach is far, but I, you know, so I had to get a bus. And I'm walking, and all of a sudden I see like a shade. Like, you know, I'm looking at the, you know, I'm looking at the pavement while I'm walking, and it was like shade, you know, like a shadow, like a cloud. And I look, and there's, I'm walking by the houses are really close to the, you know, to the sidewalk out there. It's, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And I look, and it's a fucking swarm of bees on the side of a house, and they were coming off the house. And I'm thinking, holy shit, you know, I ran, but... You know, they weren't coming after me. Otherwise, they you can't outrun that shit. They would have chased me. But I just started running. But I remember sitting. Yeah, you know, you're walking, and you see your own shadow. And all of a sudden, I'm walking. There's no tree, but there's like a shadow of almost like what's like a tree. And it was a fucking swarm of bees, man. And I remember running. I don't know. You know, usually they chase you. But they didn't chase me. I was like, thank God. But, you know.
They were fucking laughing too hard. They couldn't fucking chase you.
Look at this fucking,
look at this fucking, you know, jerk off that little fucking running.
And I used to be in World's Gym see Schwarzenegger at like, you know, 4:35 in the morning, right? Joe Gold, who used to own the gym, he used to break my balls. He owned World's Gym. He also owned Gold's Gym, obviously. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Back in the day, that was named after him. But, I would be in that fucking gym, and he used to break my balls and tell me all the time, yo, you got a New York tan, because I was all pale white and shit, you know? So, he, you know, I was getting, like, self-conscious, and I used to freaking, I would wind up going in a tan, and I would tan in a tanning salon in Gold's, because I used to train at both Gold's and World's, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And World's didn't have a tanning bed, so I used to go into Gold's, and, dude, that shit sucked. It was, like, laying under, like, I didn't even get any color. You know what I mean? It was those bulbs were so fucking bad. You had to lay in there for 2 hours just to get anything, you know? And I remember Andreas Cowling kept banging on the door. Are you almost done in there? I want to get in there, you know? We had a little bit of words, me and him, but it was crazy because that guy, fucking Joe Gold, used to harass me all the time. You got that New York tan, because everybody out in Los Angeles was tan, and I was like pale fucking white, you know?
But wait, you're living on a fucking beach. Why don't you just all fucking sit on the beach and get a tan then? Venice Beach has fucking broads all over the place.
Yeah, but you know what it is? I don't know why. You're right, because I lived a block. At one point, I lived like a block from the beach. I lived a block right from the beach. You know how close the freaking Gold's Gym is anyway. It's a couple blocks away from the beach. But
yeah. Bro, yeah, I fucking went out there in, it was a 91. I went out there and we just went to fucking, you know, check out all of Venice and, you know, did one of those fucking stupid guy trips, me and my buddy. And we hit Worlds, Gold's, you know, Worlds with the fucking outdoor part on the roof and all of that shit and Gold's and all of that. And we went to all the beaches there. Bro, there was fucking so much fucking beautiful women out there. It's like, to live out there and not to fucking sit on the beach, I think.
Now, wait a minute. Hold on. Hold on there. You and I now, we're gonna you just brought up a sore spot with me.
We got a minute left, so we're gonna have to be a quick sore spot.
Okay, quick sore spot. Fucking New York girls slay fucking California girls. You go down to Manhattan right now, walk the streets of Manhattan, Midtown Manhattan right now, and you will see girls that annihilate. And dude, I used to sit out, I'd be like, where's all these hot fuck? I didn't think that the girls in LA were that bad, were that great. I think the girls in New York City are better.
I got no problem with either one of them, but you know you're right. There wasn't like you say the California girls, there were all these tall blonde models. It wasn't like that either. But I mean, you know, to me, it's just girls in a bikini. You know, basically any of them will do.
Oh yeah, dude, you see a girl in a bikini, she could be average looking, something you wouldn't even look at the mall or something like that. You start seeing her in a bikini, of course you're lusting. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, bro, you see in the bikini, it's a totally different animal than seeing her walking around in a mall with a fucking, with slacks and a business suit on. But unfortunately, that's going to do it for us this week on Greg and Joe Extreme Radio. I'd like to thank Butch Vig and Bobby Jean Brown once again for joining us. Greg, this was a kind of a retrospective edition.
I'm going to go eat some cherry pie, Joe.
I'm going to eat cherry pie and listen to some Nirvana, never mind. But you guys have a great week. Check us out each and every Monday right here on Variety Channel, Voice America Network, Extreme Radio, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific. And check us out on FitnessRxForMen.com for all your archived episodes. For Greg Valentino, this is Joe Piattaro. Have a great week, folks.
Fuck off.
Thank you for listening this week. Greg and Joe will be back next Monday at 5 p.m. Pacific Time, 8 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Variety Channel with another edition of Extreme Radio. Now, go home and get your shine box.
Thanks again for listening to the preceding program brought to you on the Voice America Variety Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericavariety.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the preceding program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.